why are we doing what we're doing? We've been doing it a lot this week and last couple of weeks, a lot of things. And so let me just give us a remembrance of a why. I want to use a story in the Bible. It's Luke chapter 10. Anybody ever heard of the story of the Good Samaritan? Yeah. And here is the setting. If you're ever questioned by a lawyer, this has been going on as long as lawyers have been lawyers, okay? A lawyer will hardly ever ask a question for information. A lawyer, if they're questioning you, is asking a question because they are leading you somewhere, and so in law, there is this little axiom, don't ever ask a question. Does anybody know what the finish of that is? That you don't know the answer to. A lawyer does not ask a question for information. A lawyer is asking a question to, can I use the word, manipulate you, lead you, bring you the direction they want the conversation to go, or to see if you're lying. They already know the answer. They ask the question. Now you give the wrong answer, and they go, oh, okay. So a lawyer never asks a question, huh, unless they already know the answer. So there was a lawyer, and Jesus is like super smart. Jesus is like smart, okay? And you will find him doing this, and there's great wisdom in it. Great wisdom in it. When people ask Jesus a question, do you know how he answers the question much of the time? Come on. They ask a question. He goes, I'm a lawyer too. Right? And he will answer the question with a question, or B, he will answer the question with a story. They ask a question. He'll answer it with a question or ask. A guy's trying to lead Jesus. This lawyer is, and he's saying, basically, here's the story. You're asking me to be nice, and I don't want to. And because I don't want to, I'm going to dissect your asking of being nice to prove to you you're wrong by asking me to be nice. It's Luke chapter 10. And so he asks Jesus some questions, and Jesus asks a question. And then Jesus tells a story. And the guy goes, what's the cornerstone of the law and prophets? And Jesus goes, what do you think it is? And the guy goes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And Jesus goes, right answer. Go do it. And the guy goes, well, if the Bible tells me to love my neighbor as myself, who's my neighbor? Now, here's what dude's wanting to know. Who do I not have to be nice to, right? You're telling me to be nice. I want to eliminate some folk, because anybody agree with him? I saw your smile. Yeah, there's some folk I don't want to be nice to, right? And so Jesus goes, and then he tells a story. In the story, we'll read it in a second, he's going to reveal something. Anybody remember the story? There's a guy walking down the road. What happened to him? Come on, help me. Some people, yeah, and here's what it says, Lucas. Not only did they rob him, here's what it says. They left him what? To die. Leave him for dead. The King James English means they beat him to death and walked away. They're just waiting for him to stop breathing. And what you know, we'll take it in depth for a minute. There are some people that not only want your stuff, they just want you gone. And they care more about your stuff than they do you. What you can give them is more important than you yourself. Okay? So dude's laying in the ditch, dying, beaten up. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody beaten up, but he's beaten up. Eyes bleeding, beaten up. And the preacher comes along. Anybody remember what the preacher does? Preacher, he can see dude's in a ditch. I'm on my way to church, bloody, church clothes, no thanks. And he walks on the other side. Then the deacon comes by. What does the deacon Deacon walks up to him, gives him a look, walks to the other side, right? Then, this is just Jesus' story. Then who comes along? Tell me something about a Samaritan. Half Jew, hated by Jews, hated by, watch, there's always a reason for the story. Who's Jesus talking to? Who's Jesus talking? Who asked him the question? Jewish lawyer, Pharisees are there. The Jewish lawyer, Pharisees hate Samaritans. Jesus is making the Samaritan the hero of the story, not only to answer the guy's question, it's to pierce his heart. Does that make sense? And what does a Samaritan do? Anybody, you guys have read it. You know the story. What does Samaritan do? Put him on, well, first he puts what? Oil in his wounds and wine. Molly told me a story about wrecking a bike when she was a kid. And it was bad enough they had to take her to the emergency room. They took her to the emergency room. Does anybody remember methylate? And this was Molly's story. She's a little kid riding her bicycle, wrecked. Back in those days, that stuff kills the skin tissue. But back in those days, the hospitals used it. Anybody old enough, show me how old you are. Molly wrecked her bike, went to the hospital, and she said, when they put the methylate on me, I woke up in the bed. Little kid, they just burned her to sleep. Okay, why does a Samaritan put wine into the guy's wounds? Yeah, okay, but whose wine is it? The Samaritan's wine. What was the, why did the Samaritan buy the wine? Yeah, it's for lunch, baby. It's not for this guy, right? Put in the oil, put in the wine, put the guy. He did not call the church to know if we have money in the deacon fund. Whose money did he use? Yeah, donkey translate, his own pickup truck. Put somebody bleeding in your pickup truck, what's the potential? Your wife gonna get mad at you because your truck ain't clean, okay? Do you see he's using his, Jesus is telling a story on purpose. Then he takes the guy where? Now it's night. Guy's been laying in a ditch beat up all day. Because when you read at the beginning of the story, the preacher and the deacon were going to prayer meeting, which starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, the guy puts him in his pickup truck, takes him to the Holiday Inn. You read it, right? In the morning, where's Sam going? Sam the Samaritan. Where's Sam going in the morning? On about his business, without his oil and wine. He then gave it to the guy. This is, if you don't know culture, you'll run right by this. The next morning, what does he tell the innkeeper? You remember, Dennis? Anybody remember? What did he tell the innkeeper? He took his credit card out, gave the innkeeper his credit card. You go, preacher, why are you saying credit card? Because, you can read it, it's a month's wages that he gave the innkeeper. And what he said was, as long as this guy needs to recuperate, pay for it. That's like amazing right there, isn't it? Okay, show you three. I'm going to get to five whys that we do what we do. I'm going to show you three kinds of people. And I learned this from the Bible when I was, my hair was dark. And I found, My hair has cycled. It started, I was born with white hair. I will die with white hair. But the transition happened about high school, right? My hair was dark. I was reading the Bible in my mid-20s, okay? And I have found that all these years, I was absolutely right by when I understood what the Bible said. There are three kinds of people in the world. You can take this to the bank. There are takers. there are some people that live their life as takers. Their motto is, what's yours is mine if I can get it. A taker, let me upgrade the language, is cringy. They are stalkers. What they are doing is looking at people as opportunist is the view that they have. What weakness can I see to gain what I want from other people? Anybody have a picture that comes to your mind when you think taker? Because we've all ran into takers, haven't we? They manipulate, they intimidate. I say manipulate, intimidate, dominate. If they're strong enough, they'll take it from you. If they're not strong enough, then they're smarter and they'll manipulate. If they can't dominate or manipulate, then they will threaten. They will intimidate. But the taker's gonna get what you got, okay? And takers live aggressively. Anybody know any takers? Okay, now, I'm gonna call the preacher and the deacon, those are keepers. Some people are takers, some people are keepers. Keepers live with fences and locks. Anybody know any? And what they say is, what's mine's mine and you can't have it, right? And it's not only, if you're around a keeper, asking some questions, just interacting with people, and I'm not saying this, everybody that is quiet is that way, but a keeper does not want to open themselves up to being taken advantage of, because they've learned life's full of takers. And I need to protect me and mine, my four no more. I need to protect us from the takers of the world. I'll tell you what, you can have an innocent child that gets abused when they're a child, and they will become many times either a keeper or a taker. Because what they learn is, people will take from you. If you're going to live in this world, you better learn to take, and you better do it before they take from you. If they don't become a taker, many times they become very guarded. Your life can be changed by the time you're in elementary school to be a keeper that is very guarded and intimidated and fearful, that says, I cannot allow myself to be opened up or I'll be taken advantage of. Anybody know I'm talking to? You know some people like that. Okay. And then the third kind, the Samaritan that Jesus makes, the hero of the story, and this is really interesting, Jesus makes the Samaritan him in the story. What Jesus is about to show us is the Samaritan is the most Christ-like guy, though he would be the most uncommon to be the most Christ-like. Because he's not a Jew. He has not been taught in, what was the lawyer taught in? There's a reason it's called lawyer. He was taught in the law. Was the Pharisee taught? Do you know the Pharisees that were there had the first five books of the Bible memorized verbatim inside their head? When you get to those begats, I'm going, those guys are smarter than AI. If you remember all those begats in Leviticus, you are the man. They got it all down, right? Does Jesus make them the hero of the story? It's a story. Guys, I want you to know, Samaritan, this did not happen. It is a made-up story by Jesus on purpose. He is manipulating the characters for his own purposes. And that purpose is to show one simple thing. Be a giver, don't be a keeper or a taker. That's the whole thing. And the lawyer is trying to say, I am a keeper. There are people I don't want to be nice to. Who is my brother, Jesus? And so Jesus tells him the story, and he goes, who do you think's right? And what does the lawyer say? You've read Luke 10 before. Who's right? Is it the thief? Is it the preacher and the deacon? Or is it the Samaritan? Who was a neighbor to the guy that was in trouble? And the lawyer says, The lawyer says, almost as smart as Melissa, not quite that smart. But the lawyer says what? It was a Samaritan. Now watch what Jesus said. This is amazing. Jesus says, you're really smart. You know all the answers. Now go do what you know. You've come up with, Here's what the Bible says. Well, let me say it like this. Every decision you make in life will be founded on a rock or sand. Every decision you make in life. And here's what Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's not what you know. It's what you do that matters. You may know what the rock answer is, but you will decide the sand answer. You studied and you know. Does anybody ever knew what the right answer was and chose the other one? I know A is the right answer, but B feels a lot better today. Let me go ahead and go B, right? But here's what Jesus said. B is sand. It will slip out from underneath you. Rock will be solid. My life is nothing more than the accumulation of decisions I've made. Decisions are either based on rock or sand. Man, Jesus is simple, smart, right? And now he's saying to the lawyer, you've answered all the questions right. Go do it. Good. Amen. Somebody come up and sing something. No, you ain't getting off that easy. Okay. Us as a people, there's hidden in this story. I want to unwrap. You already know. I want to remind us. There are five reasons why we want to be those that are the blessers, that are given our oil and wine, letting people ride on our donkeys, and giving our credit card so somebody else can get better. Okay, there are reasons. The second one is the one we think the most about. The first one is the most important. Okay, I'm going to give you five. The second one is the one we think the most about. I'm ordering them so they're sandwiched between the most important and what can become the most important to me. Five answers. One is the most important. Second is the most recognized and thought about. And the third becomes the strongest motivation often for a believer. Okay? Here's number one. The reason that we give, that we pray, our motto is pray something, say something, give something, do something. Pray something, say something, do something, give something. My eyes are looking. Who's the guy that's in the ditch? Who might need something? Let me first of all pray. I think it's the most important thing we can do. Then there may be something I can say. I just think about the guy laying in the bed in the inn. He's beat up. He can't walk today. He got beat up yesterday. The day after a beat up hurts worse than the day of the beat up, because you got adrenaline in your body and the swelling hadn't all set in yet. And I'm just talking about me trying to mow the grass. But the second day after the beat up is more painful than the day of the beat up. And here the guy is laying in the bed, and now the guy that's been nice to him is going to leave. What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to the guy that got beat up? Today, he's got to leave too. Where's he going to go? He doesn't have any money. That got taken yesterday. Do you think that it was a sweet sound to his ears when he heard the guy say, I'll pay for his room. Let him go ahead and sleep for a couple of days and get over what happened to him. See, there are some times that we are encountering people that the greatest blessing we can give them is just allow them to get over the bad that's happened to them so they can go on to become who they were designed to be. And so, just in my mind, when I hear the guy say, here's a couple days rent for this guy. Just feed him and let him stay here for a minute. Huh? Pray something, say something, do something, give something. So why would you do that? Five reasons. Five reasons we would want to be blessers. Number one is for the glory of God. I don't think about that in the moment when I see somebody in trouble and I'm helping them in their trouble. My main thought is not, this is to the glory of God. But my overall, it might not be in the moment, but my overall thought in living is whatsoever I do, whether it is to eat or drink, whatever I do, let it all be to the glory of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I have a friend that, here's what he used to say. He said, don't be a basket head. Because here's what Jesus said. Don't put a basket over your light, right? Why? Because when my light shines, others will see my good works. And what will they do? Glorify. I want to do my good works in such a way that when I walk away, they're giving glory to God, right? We give out food on the square, and here is what I wait to hear, and we hear it often. I thank God for you guys. And I go, that is the highest compliment you can get. That's a Matthew 5:16 compliment. See your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, so number one reason, it brings glory to God. Here's number two, it brings help to the individual, and they're worth it. They wear a price tag that says, worth the blood of Jesus. So when we help them, just helping somebody is good. It is not the ultimate Christian purpose, but it is good. Okay? So number one, give glory to God. Number two, for the good of the person you're helping. Aristotle's a philosopher. Anybody ever heard of Aristotle? Anybody believe that Aristotle existed? I love to do just 30 seconds of apologetics. There is more historical proof for Jesus than there was Aristotle. There is more external, extra Bible proof that Jesus Christ walked on the earth than Aristotle walked on the earth. But here's what Aristotle said, and I want to say something. If you're asleep or your neighbor's asleep, jab them, because this will be life-changing for you. If they're not asleep, just jab them anyway, because it's fun to do it, okay? You know what? Here's what Aristotle said, it is Christ-like in the whole of Scripture. The way that he said it is better than I've heard anybody else say it. Here's what Aristotle said. If you love somebody for the somebody, it is the highest form of love. Now, here's what that means. I'm nice to Melissa. I paid for Melissa to go to college. Melissa gets out of college. And Melissa goes, I hate that guy. I never want to see him again. Melissa. Somebody say bad Melissa. Huh? Now watch. And I'm making it light because there are people in here that it has been worse than that. Okay? And Melissa walks away. What is Dennis's natural attitude toward Melissa? Why? I put her through college. And now she doesn't want anything to do with me. She's going to become a millionaire, and I got to be a pauper all my life. Bad Melissa. Huh? No, watch. Here's what Aristotle is saying. Then I did that for me, and I didn't love Melissa. He goes, if you do it for Melissa, and Melissa walks away, it doesn't bother you at all because you were not doing it for you were doing it for Melissa. That's tight right there. Anybody else get maybe just a little bit convicted or stretched on that a lot of serving that some people do is not for the people they're serving, it's for them? Huh? And now here's what I'm saying with point number two that I'm extracting from the thought process that I find in the life of Jesus is that when I love and I'm doing it for the person, it doesn't matter how they respond. Because I'm not doing it so they love me back. I'm doing it because Christ loved me and now he's loving through me toward them. That's amazing. And now I can be free. I don't have to be mad. If that happened, I see Melissa and Kroger, what am I going to do? You ought to be paying my Kroger bill I sent you through college, right? But when I see Melissa and Kroger, what can happen to my belly? Come on, don't act like you're in church. Act like you're just sitting around a table drinking coffee. What can happen? I see Melissa, all of a sudden, my belly starts churning. I'm mad. I walk out of Kroger. I forgot to get the stuff I needed for my kids. Because, why? Because I saw her, and where the hurt's in me, and it's not in her. Huh? Because I was loving her for me. Isn't that amazing? So here's number one is, maybe we'll just hit 3 points because those other two don't have time. Okay. Number one is for the glory of God. Number two is for the good of the person. And now I can be free the rest of my life. There is no tag. No, I'm not going to go so far in God and then get jerked back because I treated somebody else good. Somebody else, the good I treated, I got bad treated. I go, no, I was doing it for you. Right? For them. And then number three, can I just do three? I'm just going to do three and say amen because I want the poignancy of the three. Here's the third one. So we as a body are blessers. Number one, it brings glory to God. Number two is for the good of the person. And here's number three. It is fulfillment for me. Anybody ever seen a duck fly? Crazy. Have you ever seen a duck fly? Let me ask another question. Everybody's asleep. Have you ever seen a robin fly? Why does a robin fly? Because it was built to fly. That's what it does. What does a horse run? Why does my wife make me ride a bike? No, I'm kidding. Why does a fish swim? Why does a fish swim? Now, this is amazing. You were created by God to do good works. It's Ephesians 2:10. When I do good works, it is like a bird flying. There is glory in a bird flying because it is doing what it was built to do. Okay, Tom, I'm going to come back and be just a little snarky. Put up with me for a minute. God never created a human being to be a taker or a keeper. Though there are times we take, and there are times we keep. Here's what God teaches about money. Make it. Work every day. Make it. And then he says, spend it. It's in the Bible. Make it and spend it. Anybody ever raise kids? Spend more than you make. Make it. Spend it. Save it. Share it. Here's what God said about money. It's easy. Make it. I'll help you. That's what he said. I will equip you to do amazing stuff called good works, and then other people will pay you for solving problems. It's called going to work. Now you made it. Now spend it. Then he goes, save it, because you have economic power if you have saved money. It's called a storehouse. How did Joseph overtake Egypt? He never took a shot. You know how he did it? With a storehouse. Now other people need something. He has it. Right? And then share it. They go, Joseph, you could bankrupt everybody. And he goes, nah, I have a heart like God. What I'm going to do is share it. Okay? Does that make some manner of sense? So, when I, as a believer, do good works, it is fulfilling to me. Brings God glory, helps the other person, and I'm going to end with an illustration. There's somebody on the side of the road. I'm going to give you some social science, because nowadays they can check out brains and sit you and do in a laboratory, do certain things, see what part of your brain lights up. And here, I'll give you a scenario, and I'm going to tell you what we found out with social science. Guy on the side of the road. The guy on the side of the road broke down. Broke down on the side of the road, and he does not have what he needs to go forward. He's got a flat tire. Let's make him have a flat tire. And Jim pulls over, and Jim gives the guy his tire and changes it for him, and the guy goes down the road. Here's what we found in social science. It's really important if the other person needs it. It works to some degree even if they don't need it. Do you know at the end of that scenario, the guy will be happy and Jim will be happier? When Jim blesses somebody that needs it, Jim's intensity of happy is higher and Jim is happy. The guy, by the time he gets where he's going, he might have forgot about it. Jim will remember it for 3 or 4 days with euphoric recall of helping the guy out. And I go, dang, I read that. I read a whole study of it, read hours about it. And then I go, it's in the Bible. It's called, it is more blessed to give than it is received. You want me to tell you who the, you want me to tell you of the three? You want me to tell you the least happy type of people in the world? Come on, say it louder. Say it louder. Why? Why? Here's what any taker will tell you. You can never take enough. Every bank robber is caught. Hardly ever are they caught the first time. That's statistically true. Bank robbers are hardly ever caught their first bank robbery. Why do they rob the second one? Ran out of money. B, that was easy. Huh? Then guess what? Tina, the first time somebody gets drunk or high, that and then what happens? It doesn't take long till they don't care what they have to do. You know when the people Tina worked with, you know when they'll start getting clean? Just one thing, they realize that they can't get high enough. Then they'll turn around, go the other way. You know why a taker is the most unhappy person on the planet? Because you were never created to live for you. God never made us that way. And you cannot make yourself happy enough. Isn't it amazing? It's just completely amazing that God says, when you live the way I created you to live, created for good works, when you do that, it makes you fulfilled. It helps the person. It brings glory to God. Amen. That's just like good news. I got two more points. We're going to take a break because we've been working and cooking all week, and we've had refrigerators full of food. So we're going to take a break. We're going to put all the chairs up, put the tables back out. No, we ain't never doing that again until the next time. I have two more points, and the closing is on the last one, but since I'm not doing it, there's no closing. No, I'm going to pray. I know we want to pray for Jim. I know we want to pray for Tina. Anybody else in the room that would go, I have a particular need, I just need the Lord to touch. Would you just raise your hand so we're just going to pray? I'm not going to ask you to come down. We're just going to pray. Yeah. Okay. Good. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Good. So just whoever the person is next to you, they need it, all right? Now, we're going to pray, and then Molly, are you going to come down here with me? Molly and I will be down here if you want further prayer after. So if you mind just stand together. Good. If there's somebody close that you do want to pray for, it's okay to put your hand on their shoulder. If you like them, maybe grab their hand. We're just going to pray and ask the Lord to intervene. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We come now to lift up your name, first of all. Father, there's a motivation you put in us called the love of God. And it enables us to love you back, to love other people. We pray that you would increase it in us individually, in us corporately as a people. May we be demonstrations of your kindness and goodness that cause other people to look at us and to give you glory for the enablement that you bring. There are those in our midst right now that need supernatural touch from you beyond what a human can do. We ask that you would do that. We pray that you release your healing touch. Lord, sometimes you just need a direction that it'll come just like an inspiration inside our heart that we just know what to do. I pray for that kind of direction to come. Lord, sometimes there are takers that have really damaged us, and we need the weight and the pain and the restriction of that to be broken so we can walk forward in what you've designed. And just like that Samaritan, you come along to give us what you have, to help us through what we've been through so we can go forward into what you've designed. I pray that by your Spirit and by your grace, you would touch people that have been abused by takers that are among us right here. We thank you for your goodness toward us. We bless you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, our worship team's going to come. We'll be down here if you'd like to be prayed for.